God's word is a fire in my bones, and I cannot keep it in. We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Oh, good evening. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Katie Erickson's here. How are you doing, Katie?
Doing great. How are you, Jason?
I'm awesome. We're going to get into 1 Corinthians 3 just a bit. Here we go. Yeah, don't be a pushover. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Again, digging into 1 Corinthians 3, and near the end of this half hour, Katie's going to be sharing a little bit about her trip to England, kind of Europe, because she went to the airport and then
in
left.
Amsterdam, yeah.
But she's going to share a little bit about her trip to England there, and just give us a little taste. Why are we going to talk about this?
So it was not a sightseeing trip. Right. Did not do sightseeing. Okay. I went over with a ministry group, and our purpose there was to see what the churches in England are doing to reach the unchurched. Because England is a highly secular nation. Generally speaking, they're about 10 years ahead of where the U.S. is at, so even more secular than we are here. The statistic we were told at one point was that 96% of people in England do not attend church. So only 4% of people attend church at all.
Right.
So very secular, you know, all of that. But there are so many ministries and churches and organizations over there that are really reaching the unchurched. And we got to meet with leaders of a lot of these ministries to see, OK, what are you doing? You know, what's working over there that perhaps we could apply over here in our churches and ministry contexts in the States?
Right. So we're going to get into that near the end of this half hour. And but right now, Katie has been blogging about 1 Corinthians just a bit. And, you know, if you don't mind, for my sake again, can you share the scripture text actually again over the air? Because like Kay already has stated to Katie, it's really not 1 Corinthians 3. It's 1 United States of America 3. And we'll get into why that is in just a bit. But it really is 1 Corinthians because, well, there's no such thing as 1 United States of America.
Paul didn't write us a letter specifically.
No. Well, the states weren't around then.
Exactly. Otherwise, he would have.
Oh, I'm sure he would have.
We would have been getting some letters, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only he would have been writing, he probably would have been bringing down the hammer.
Yep.
I guess. But this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Katie, let's get started here. 1 Corinthians 3.
Yep. And we are starting in verse 1. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app handy, pull that out. We're going to be reading 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 9. It says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." So sometimes the best way that we as people learn something is to really just have it blatantly called out and correct it. And that is exactly what Paul is doing here with the people of the Corinthian church in the first century. So he's addressing two specific issues here in this passage. First, spiritual immaturity, and then second, he addresses their divisiveness. So Paul first addresses the spiritual immaturity of the people. He had previously been discussing the wisdom of God and how that differs from the world's wisdom. So that set the foundation for this accusation that he's making. And now he just lays it on them. He says, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. So he's been setting up the contrast of how different God's teachings are from the world's teachings. And the people were likely thinking that, oh yeah, we're good. We're on the God side of that contrast. We're fine. Well, while they may have been believers in Jesus Christ already, they were too immature in their faith. They were still acting like the world. They were not yet living by the Spirit fully in their lives. Perhaps this was because they were still learning about the faith and how to live as a believer. But the problem is they can't continue to live like that. So Paul explains this immaturity so they can understand it with a food analogy in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 3. So babies drink milk before they're able to eat solid food. But if they don't grow up and start eating solid food, they would not continue to live and thrive. When Paul first came to them, he had to start with the milk, simply sharing the gospel truth with them so that they would begin that relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like you can't feed steak to an infant, the people were not yet ready for the deeper Christian teachings just yet at that time. Well, the problem is that now, later on, after Paul had shared the gospel with them, now when he is writing to them, they are still not ready for solid food. They have not grown and matured in their faith as Paul hoped and expected that they would. So in verse 3, he points out some specific ways that he can tell they're not ready. They're still experiencing jealousy and quarreling among themselves, and they're acting like mere humans. So in Greek, the questions that Paul asks here are set up in such a way that he expects an affirmative response. You know, he was trying to get the Corinthians to acknowledge their spiritual immaturity. Realizing that they need to grow is really their first step towards growth. So when he says, you know, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? You know, it's set up so that the answer is, well, yes. Yes, we are, whether they want to admit it or not. Mm. So in verse 4, Paul points out that they were focused on the human teachers among them, namely Paul and Apollos. So we see more about the ministry of these two teachers and a few others in Acts 18, 1 through 28. So Paul reminds them that he and Apollos are mere human beings, just like them. And again, he asks these questions, and they're set up to elicit an affirmative response, acknowledging that Apollos and Paul, they're not superhuman in any way. They're just human teachers too, though likely more spiritually mature than the Corinthians were at that point, which is why they were able to teach them in such a way. So Paul emphasizes this in verse 5, where he reminds them that he and Apollos are only servants of God who have been assigned the task of sharing the gospel to the Corinthians. Paul's point here is that no human should be the focus of worship or be idolized in any way by fellow believers. Even though they may have more mature faith than the believers at Corinth, they are not to be viewed as better than them in any way. So this sets up the next point in Paul's argument, which is the idea of divisiveness. So if the Corinthian believers...
So hold on here. I want to ask you, because you said that was brought up of, you know, in the affirmation, you know...
Yeah, the way the questions were set up, it's expecting an affirmative response.
So, I'm asking this because... I think the way Paul is doing this, in my opinion at least, is right, of not just come right out and blurting out, hey, this is wrong, this is not correct, this letting someone else kind of figure it out themselves. But you're getting into divisiveness now. And so is it fair to say, and this is not me trying to make something happen here, it's truly asking a question. So if a person would answer the question not in affirmative, but in the negative, do you think, believe, or does it show that those people who are not willing yet to admit it, are they in the divisiveness of this, or are they just still mere babes?
I think those two are related.
Okay.
They are still in the immature phase, you know, of not recognizing these truths that Paul is sharing with them. And honestly, like, not being willing to admit that they're immature, which is part of their immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also feel like that goes into the divisiveness because they're not unified. They're being divisive because of their immaturity. So the spiritual immaturity is really the root of the whole thing, you know, because that contributes to them being divisive and, you know, following Paul and Apollos and worshiping them more so than worshiping God, more or less. And then them, you know, essentially not being willing to admit that they're spiritually immature mm-hmm. is part of the immaturity.
Okay. So, and now I'm going to dip my toe into even a little deeper water here with my question. And I'm not saying you've got the answer, by the way. So when some of these people were saying, well, no, you know, I don't agree with that, or, you know, I'm not willing to be in the affirmative, are these people Christian or are they wolves in sheep clothes? What is the deal here?
And that's the question. We don't know the hearts of the Corinthian believers.
Right.
You know, and I think even Paul doesn't necessarily know. I mean, he knows that he shared the gospel with them. And from what he believes, they accepted that. They have become believers in Jesus Christ. But then the problem is they're not maturing from that. They're not giving up their worldly ways, you know, is where he's going with this of, you know, basically that, okay, well, yes, you're believers. Good. Good job. You believe in Jesus Christ, but
so you're saved.
There's differences. Yeah. So you're saved, but that needs to elicit some life transformation that he is not seeing in them. And that's why he's laying the smackdown here, because he's saying, you guys, I should be able to talk to you like fellow believers. And I think you are, but you're still way too worldly. I can't talk to you like that yet. You know, and that's where he's coming from, is that, you know, he thinks they should be believers, mm-hmm. you know, but they're kind of trying to have a foot in both camps of like, okay, I like this Jesus thing. I'm saved. Really cool. That's awesome. But yet I don't want to give up the worldly stuff. And that's where their immaturity is. And Paul's saying, you can't do that.
Okay. So, okay. I'm glad you put it that way. So, okay. So we're pretty clear, and this is for our listeners. Okay. So they've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Like you said, this Christian thing, cool, great, I'm saved. And then Paul is letting them know, okay, that's great. But now, and by the way, we're not promoting works-based salvation. But in essence, Paul is saying, now you need to work out your salvation. Is that fair to say?
I think so. Because like he's specifically like implying here that, you know, they're following Paul. They're following Apollos rather than following God. You know, through the teachings of Paul and Apollos. Mm-hmm. But that would be a very worldly thing for them. You know, any of those pagan idols that they were worshiping, you'd follow, you know, the idol, the person, you know, all of that rather than, you know, and so they were like, oh, yeah, we'll just follow Paul. And oh, yeah, well, this group says, oh, we'll follow Apollos. OK, we're good. And Paul's like, no, follow God.
Mm-hmm. Follow Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
OK. All right. So and partly, friends, I bring that up because it sure sounds familiar to me.
Right?
Uh-huh. It really does. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to judge anyone. I'm just encouraging you, friends, try to look at yourself in the scripture. Not your neighbor, not the person who sits next to you in church, not to the person that sits next to you at school, not to the person that's an employee with you at your job. No offense, don't care about them. I do care about them, but we're talking about you. How are you doing with that? That's something you have to figure out. I can't make you. Katie can't make you. What we're trying to do, though, is help each one of you to grow in the Lord, to become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Are there things that are being touched on here that you're kind of like, well, maybe I do that. Maybe I... And you need to examine your own life, not because we're guilt-tripping you. Paul was not guilt-tripping these people. It's because we love you. Paul loved them. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. We're going to continue on here. And, Kitty, when we come back, we'll have you wrap up, and then hopefully you have some time to share about what kind of took place in England there. Is that good?
Sounds like a plan.
All righty, friends. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
As I begin this fast cast, I encourage you to go read our blog post titled, Who Are the Governing Authorities in the USA Today? We need to keep in mind that we, the people, are actually the governing authorities in the United States. According to Romans 13 and in our form of government, God has established we, the people, as the governing authorities in this nation, and that is an incredible responsibility. If the subjects who are the elected officials and those who work for them decide to rebel against the governing authorities, well, we see in Romans 13 that they are rebelling against what God himself has instituted and that they will bring judgment unto themselves. Again, go find our blog post titled, Who Are the Governing Authorities in the USA Today?
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
Where is your faith? Have you been enlightened by the Word of God? Have you tasted God's goodness in your life? Have you experienced repentance? If so, don't fall away from that. Keep moving forward and growing and maturing in your faith. I encourage you to continue to dig into God's Word and help your field to produce good crops. Don't give up practicing the faith or fall away from this true faith. Now, friends, if you have not experienced this enlightenment of faith, well, contact a Christian friend, a pastor, or us here at Worldview Warriors to help you get on the right path to tasting the goodness of God in your life. To dig more into this, check out Hebrews 6, 4 through 8.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. We'll continue here with 1 Corinthians 3 just a bit. And we're in 1 through 9. So, Kate, if you don't mind, keep going. And I think this has been a really great show so far.
Yes. So Paul has been calling out the Corinthian church for their spiritual immaturity. And then the next issue he gets into in this passage is divisiveness. So if the Corinthian believers were following human teachers instead of following God, that would naturally cause divisions in the church. The faction that followed Paul may consider themselves separate from the faction that followed Apollos, for example. But Paul emphasizes their unity in the faith. Paul and Apollos had different roles, but God used both of them for his good purposes. Paul was the one who initially shared the gospel with them, but Apollos was the one who discipled them. And that was all through God's power and for his glory. It was not the people who do the work who are necessarily important, but God is, and what God does in each believer's heart and life. It's important to not be divided because of the work of various people in the church, because we are all called to work together on God's mission. We're all on the same team, working to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not separate, but need to be working together. We're all part of one body, the body of Christ. We're all co-workers for God in what God is building in this world. So today, we know the church has been divided significantly.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I know, right? Especially since those days back in the first century, right?
Yes.
It's been estimated that there are over 45,000 Christian denominations globally.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
So many of them. Back in Paul's day, there was one. You were either a Christian and believed in Jesus as Lord and Savior, or not. So a lot has changed in 2,000 years. People have followed certain teachers and divided the church because of them. And the church has divided due to debates on teachings that have some interpretational differences in the Bible. But even with these divisions, we need to remember that we are all on the same mission together. We are all co-workers for God in what he is doing in this world. We are all called to grow spiritually, to move away from just drinking the milk of the gospel message and move into the solid food of deeper doctrines. If you want some resources to help you grow into the solid food of your faith, you can check out our hundreds of blog posts and our book resources that are available at worldviewwarriors.org. And all the while, we're not human teachers that you should be following, but you should be following God. Because we are not to follow any human teacher as if they are God, but we are to truly follow, worship, and glorify God and God alone. We need to desire unity among our fellow believers on the things that we agree on rather than divisiveness.
Absolutely, friends. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Again, I just want to direct you to worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab. Take you there. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9 is what we've been listening to and sharing with you tonight. There's a blog post put out by Katie every single Monday around 6 in the morning, actually exactly 6 in the morning.
Or actually last week it was like 2 a.m. because I was in England.
Well, I was going to say around because yeah. of that trip. So, Katie, we're going to dig into this, friends. Katie was on a trip to England and you went and looked at how they do church or
kind of something like that.
Okay.
So the trip was with a ministry called Church Doctor Ministries that I've been a part of for the past 2 years or so. And our trip was an immersion trip to basically be immersed in what the church as a whole is doing in England. So we went to multiple places in Manchester, Sheffield, and London in England, visited multiple different ministries in each of those places and just got to see what they are doing. And I was honestly blown away by how many people they are reaching in England. So one I'm going to share about specifically now is called the Message Trust. And it started, and actually, Jason, you are familiar with them. You may not know this. Remember that song from the late 90s, Jumping in the House of God?
Jumping in the House of God.
Yes.
Jumping in the House of God.
I met that guy.
Worldwide Message Tribe, really?
Yeah, the Worldwide Message Tribe. That's from the Message Trust that was founded in Manchester, England.
That's awesome.
So Andy
Hawthorne. Play a song by them.
Andy Hawthorne is the guy from the Worldwide Message Tribe, you know, the Jumping in the House of God guy. I met him, totally took a selfie with him because I was kind of fangirling. I was like, that's awesome. But anyway, so the Message Trust, it was started by Andy Hawthorne, and they are now a worldwide ministry. It literally just, you know, started there in Manchester, England. But they started back in, I believe it was the early 90s. And so they have their ministry. Yes, that song.
Good stuff. Sorry.
It is.
Just to get my fix, you know.
Yep.
Forgive me.
But and that's the thing. So like that's part of how they reach young people.
Absolutely.
For Jesus.
Amazing
is, you know,
ministry.
Songs like that. They would do all these tours. They still do a lot of these like concerts, what they call them gigs over there.
Yep.
But they would do these, you know, rap and all of this kind of stuff. And they do like they actually go into they're able to go into schools where they don't explicitly share the gospel in the schools, but they go there and they bring messages of hope and encouragement to the students there. And then they'll be in a school for like a week and they'll keep inviting kids to a gig at the end of the week. That's, you know, at a church or something like that,
right.
Where they do share the gospel. And that's just one aspect of their ministry. So they have four main areas and that's part of their creative mission, where they will also actually like, you know, help young people to, you know, record their own music and things like that, encourage them in those endeavors. They do a lot of equipping and training where they actually have the Message School of Evangelism. They're teaching people how to share their faith because that is what they do. They have, I think it's six of these double-decker buses that they have basically converted into a youth group on wheels. So it has like, you know, video games and stuff like that. We actually got to tour one of their buses and, you know, it's like a double decker thing. There's stairs to go up. There's a slide to come down. There's a rock climbing wall inside a bus and, you know, place for people to talk, all that. They'll drive these buses to different neighborhoods there. And basically it's like, hey, look, youth group is here, you know, rather than expecting teenagers to come to a church building or come to a particular location, they go right out into the community. And, you know, meet the kids where they're at, have conversations with them, build relationships with them, all of that, you know, provide a safe environment for these young people to go to. And they're always, always sharing their faith with them. Hmm. You know, it's not just, oh, come here and hang out and have fun. You know, they're engaging kids in conversation about those hard questions in life and about faith and what do you believe and all of that.
So you mean not just having a pizza party and giving them food,
yes,
but actually engaging them with things mm-hmm. that truly do matter.
Yeah.
Not that food is bad, friends, or having shelter is bad. However.
That's a part of it.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's one of their other missions is community transformation, where they go out into the community. So the week we were there, they had spent the entire week Basically like a backyard mission trip kind of thing that we have here in this area. Mm-hmm. They would go into people's gardens, as they call them. We would call it a backyard. And basically just, you know, clean stuff up, fix it up, whatever, all of that. And then while they were doing that, they were inviting people to the fun day that they had at their property on Saturday.
Right.
Where it was, you know, free food. They had their bus there. They had inflatables and stuff. And they had a gospel presentation, you know, where they're like, they showed a video of here's what we did this week out in the community. And then, you know, here's who Jesus is. And, you know, he's the reason that we do all these things, and presented the gospel. And, you know, like, 10 people got saved that day. Like,
and friends, that's just so awesome. Again,
awesome.
The message trust is what Katie's talking about. And yeah, this is from the Worldwide Message Tribe, which mm-hmm. is a part, you said, of the Message Trust,
yes.
Right?
Yep, it is.
So with that, friends, again, this is one of their older songs, but you know what? Good stuff. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Katie, maybe we can talk about this in a little bit.
Sounds good.
Later.
All right.
Sound good?
Yep.
Enjoy, friends. This is from the Worldwide Message Tribe, and this is Do Not Keep Silent.
In Jesus Christ. Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.